Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. I'm your host, Marcus Atkinson, with guest host, Mark Blunt. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, go to Facebook, like the page, follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming shows, promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanksgiving is upon us, and I had to tell you, this holiday seems to get more and more expensive every year. And I know we talk about the working poor, the poor in general in this country, but this is a time of year that even though many of us sit around the table and we count our blessings, and we should, there are a lot of people that are stressed out because they just don't have the resources or the wherewithal to feed themselves and their families the way they'd like to at a time like this. And when you look at the environment across the country, you can understand why. There was an article from USA Today that was just released on November 12th. And the title is, Why is Thanksgiving So Expensive? And here's what the data says. And it broke down just a few things for you to keep in mind as we go into this interview with our special guest today, who was taking it upon himself to address this issue in his own unique way. It talked about, although 2023 estimates are not available, the Consumer Price Index shows that food and home prices are up 2.4% this year. The Bureau of Labor Statistics found that grocery prices were up nearly 17% in the past 2 years. And although turkey prices are slightly decreasing, side dishes, not so much. They're not following the same trends. And so overall, it's expected to be 4.4% more expensive than 2023. But to get specific, if you look at the numbers for 2022, 21, and 20 on average, a Thanksgiving feast for 10 and 22 was $64.05. You compare that to 2021, $55, right, for a party of 10. Then you go back to 2020, $47. Target has a special promotion going on right now where they're trying to offset this. If you go to Target right now, they've got a meal for four, and here's what's included in this. A turkey, russet potatoes, green beans, cream of mushroom soup, cranberry sauce, stuffing and gravy, all for $25. Why? Because this is getting expensive. Enter our guest today, Mr. Michael Hooks, founder of Michael Making Lives Better, a local nonprofit here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I won't go too deeply into who Mike is. I'll let him unpack that himself. But one of the reasons, the primary reason we have Mike on today is because Mike is one of these citizens who says to himself, if it is to be, it's up to me. And we hear slogans like, be the change that you want to see. But all of us have a responsibility to, in some way, shape, or fashion, live that out and to model that behavior, not just for our neighborhoods, per se, but for our entire community, especially for the generation coming up behind us. And so Mike's work has inspired a lot of people locally. And so today, Mark and I wanted to sit down and just kind of unpack the magic and the work, as you'll hear, behind this Thanksgiving endeavor that Mike has taken on and some of the other work that he's done. With all that being said, I say, Mike Hooks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. So why don't we start out real simple? Give us some of your backstory. In the lead-in, I told the audience that you are a community doer, but that comes from somewhere. So give us the backdrop of Mike Hooks, the genesis of this charitable spirit that you display so much in community.
Well, I would attribute it to, I come from a good family, a family that's always cared about others, but a family that had very little means. So feeding people is something that I enjoy doing, and it's something that's deep and dear in my heart. Mainly because when I was a younger kid, you know, I was hungry, and I know what it's like to be hungry, and it's not a pleasant feeling. My mother always had some things laying around the house. You know, I could make me a cheese sandwich or get a hot dog, but my mother was not a cooker. And I would go to my friend's house, and boy, you could smell it outside. You understand? So I would stay around and hang around until they start pulling them plates out, and they, hey Mike, you want something to eat? Yes, you know what I mean. Because I knew, when I get home, it, like I said, it was something always there, but it was just a little something. And so that's just very important to me. God blessed me and put me in a position to build a kitchen, and we utilize that kitchen to serve the residents of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Now, Mark, this is something you're familiar with. You know, you are heavily involved with a facility that educates children, feeds children. You know, you think about kids with an empty stomach. It's hard to do too much anything when your stomach is empty, correct?
That's correct. And what I did notice, like in my time, we didn't really do the breakfast programs before school or give the bags out over the weekend to make sure that they have something to eat. And that amazes me in 2023, or that we're at this level with the many resources that we have, that we have to give out bags to students or they won't have something to eat. And I just want to say this with Mike. Mike just doesn't do this during the holidays. That's right. Or what have you. And Mike embodies something where Dr. King said we all could be great because we all can serve. And Mike don't only just do this. And this is just not shout out to Mike or whatever, but he does this. He earns this, and this is it. And he's an example of how great we could be if we do serve or if we do care. And Mike goes beyond and above these type of things because he just doesn't feed them on the Thanksgiving holiday. Mm-hmm. He says, Mark, hey, I know your kids might need something to eat over the summer. And he don't just give the old school was the bologna bags and stuff like that. That's not Mike. It goes up. It goes up a notch. And I got to say kudos to that, because I am of the era where we used to go to whatever neighborhood center or the parks or the boys club, and they had that little bologna basket us in the summertime or something like that. And it was appreciated. And I congratulate Mike for taking up that mm-hmm. tradition and serving our community in this way. He's always fulfilling the need, and kudos out to you.
And this is how Mike landed on so many people's radar. I know with myself, by nature, I'm a doer, right? And if you don't know Mike, if you are not a doer, don't waste your time talking to him about what needs to be done in community, because he's going to get agitated real quick. He's going to go straight to, well, what you doing? Yeah. And that's my thing as well. So many people line up to lament the problem. It's like, okay, so you're attacking that how? I know we can't attack everything, but something. And so, before I throw it back to you, Mike, one of the first things that he was doing that really caught my attention was the annual haircut. And I remember you doing it in your barbershop. And this man was offering free haircuts, being a barber, just one of his various trades that he offers. But doing free haircuts, for kids going back to school in his barbershop, not a big barbershop. And on his own. Now, the agency is called Michael Making Lives Better for a reason, because I've watched you from the sideline grow this thing. It's aptly named. And so this is not a big barbershop. He goes from that to being in this huge field at a local elementary school with sponsors all over the fence, the names of sponsors all over the fence, multiple barbers, multiple organizations volunteering. All of this from the charitable vision of one everyday citizen. One everyday citizen. And so I know that, Mike, you talked a little bit about your background and everything and what drives you. But when you first started saying to yourself, I got it, I'll cut the head, I'll stuff the backpacks, I'll feed them, what put you in a position where you just felt like, I'll just do it myself?
Well, as a young man, being raised by a single parent, not having a father or a mentor or someone that I could look up to and someone to kind of put the pressure or the foot down on me, right? I took the path of least resistance every chance that I got. Shortcut should have been my middle name. and that led me down some tough times and to some places where I had to dig deep. And so I just got into a position, into a mind state where I said, I hurt a lot of people. I did some things. I'm not a bad person, but some conditions created an atmosphere for me to be bad, mm-hmm. right? For me to make some bad choices and decisions. And once I figured that out, I said, going forward, I'll make better choices. I'll make better decisions. And then I start looking at ways, how can I help out? And one of the things that that came to mind was my childhood, some of the things that led me astray, right? Being hungry. I wouldn't go to school if my hair cut, if my hair wasn't cut. You know, my mom never had a job, you know, never owned a house or never even had a car in her life. So it was like I said, it was some tough times. But as I grew, I became an avid reader, and I started figuring out some things, and I came to the conclusion that the best route for me was to be an example of a man that been through some things and got his shit together.
Yeah, I get that. And you know, when you look at all the different people that come to you and volunteer, I think that unto itself is encouraging because other people are catching the vision.
Yeah. I never turn a volunteer down. I never deny somebody an opportunity to serve. I look at myself as a conduit. I'm a person that can put things together. And I take a lot of pride in that. I take a lot of pride in someone riding past my business and watching me work that don't even know me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was snow plowing one year, and it was for 30 days, it was below zero, right? And, you know, wherever I work at, if I see an older gentleman or old lady home, I'll just go shovel that for nothing doing my work, right? I'll just go over there and knock their porch off of their sidewalk. And I remember this lady saying to me, I was wondering if you was going to show up today, right? And it just touched me because it was cold. I mean, it was for a month straight. It was below zero. And if the truck started, I was off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... But those type of things touch me, man. And then the, you know, handing someone a meal. And what I do on Thanksgiving, I like to concentrate on elderly people and people with disabilities.
Yeah.
People that worked hard in their life and because of an ailment or some type of situation where they can't get around the way they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my focus on Thanksgiving, man. And I've been written so many letters, and you know, they call me the Turkey Man. You know, they got all these little nicknames for me. They started calling me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They keep my number, they write me letters, and once you establish that type of rapport with people, man, you feel obligated. You don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
So I like to give a quality meal. This is a home cooked meal. This ain't something that we just take some cans and just throw some stuff together and give it out. This is not something we trying to run up large numbers. We do 500-600 people on Thanksgiving, and my goal is to make sure they have a good quality meal, something that I would eat myself. And then, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays we deliver hot meals to kids, and it's tough for me. This is a tough thing here because I have to give the meals to the kids. That's like my pet peeve. When a family gets into my program, I let the parents know, you know, when we come to your house, I don't want to see you. You know, I want to see the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to feed an adult.
Yeah.
On my weekend kids meal program. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for the kids, man. And they come to the door with their underwear on, no socks, no shoes, you know, and it makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel good to see the smile on their face when I give them some good mac and cheese or some good lasagna.
Yeah.
You know, some good bread.
That's made,
you know,
with love, not,
yeah,
out the box.
Yeah, man. It's for me, it's no better feeling in the world, man, when I see these people, when I see these kids, man, and against all odds. I'm not one to like go around. I'm not in the paper for my Thanksgiving. I seen a list of places that's in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my demographic of people that I serve, and we just get down to business and take, mm-hmm, care of it.
And they know you coming.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you use Dr. King's quote, Mark, and I love that quote because at its heart, it's true, right? I remember a song by Michael Jackson, one of my favorite by Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Yeah. You know, I see the kids on the street without enough to eat, and here's the line, who am I to be blind pretending not to see their need? Right?
Yeah.
And you look through our society nowadays, too often we've gotten accustomed to just looking the other way. When you see folk who are in whatever condition they're in, they're hungry, they're homeless, they're underemployed, whatever the situation is, you know, I've pointed out on multiple shows, man, when wealth is just growing exponentially amongst this very small group, need, poverty, going without, those numbers just continue to grow.
But see, the thing with these kids, man, they the smartest things in the world, man. And the reason why I like to deal with the kids so much today is because if you can see it, you can be it, right? So when they see me putting this work in, trust me, I believe that some of them gonna follow that pathway. You know, they gonna remember what it was like for someone to bring something, a hot meal to their house. And even on Christmas, all the kids that we feed, we buy them Christmas presents. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they put on the list, we get it. I don't care what it is. They want some beets, we gonna get them. They might tear them up next week. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. So, but it's a twofold situation. We working, we serving, but we building the next people, the next man up, the next person that's gonna do this one day when I can't do it no more.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah, I got you. I like that. And the kids, that is. I think we all got that in common.
Yeah.
It's that next generation. You know, that quote hanging in my office right now, it's better to build strong kids than to repair broken men.
Oh, no doubt.
You know.
And then there's another quote come to my mind where I guess it was Cory Booker that said, because most of the people at this table are spiritual people, and we serve a mighty God or whatever you want to call him. And Cory Booker said, "Don't tell me about your God, show me him." And Mike and Marcus are the type of people that they embody that. They show it. Now, I'm not talking perfection because I know there's a lot of you all out there that want to cast your stones. But no, what we're saying is every day, despite our faults or whatever, we try to be better. And we try to make our space, what we could reach, what we could touch better. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding our imperfections, but trying to do better with what we have.
I remember when I was locked up, and I read something, and it touched me to the point where I never forgot it. And it said, you can have all the nice cars, all the nice houses, all the nice things in the world, and die. They'll talk about you for about a week or two, right? But if you can find a way to touch people's lives, they'll talk about you forever.
Yeah.
So I never forgot that. And like I said, I dedicated an aspect of my life. I live this, I sleep this, I walk this. Like anybody I talk to, anybody I engage in throughout the day, we gonna touch on something like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even when I'm down at the park or I'm you know, searching out the little high spots the homeless people got, you know, sliding them some odds and some ends, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm still letting them know, look, you somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You somebody. And don't never forget that. And don't let nobody tell you that you ain't nobody.
Yeah. Walk us through the logistics, because we've watched you outgrow the smaller kitchen that you were cooking in at a little facility, a little bar that's no longer even there. You know, and then cooking in other places, and now you've built your own facility. People are listening who say to themselves, I feel like I'm called to do something. I don't know what it is. And even when you do figure out what it is, how do you follow the steps? So you got your people that you deliver to, but how did that list of people even come together? How did the logistics of it start to fall in place over time?
Well, for Thanksgiving, like I said, for me, it was the older people I was concerned about. I was concerned about people that I know that worked their whole life and now they walking with a cane. So how you gonna get around a kitchen for 2, 3, 4 hours trying to make a Thanksgiving dinner when you barely moving, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So what I did, originally, bro, when we first started doing Thanksgiving, I used to give out box meals where you had to cook it yourself. And then I found out that some of the people that I was giving meals to, their gas wasn't on.
Oh, wow.
So they then in turn, they would sell the box. You know, I would give everything was in there that you can take it home and feed your whole family, right? But some people at this time of the year, they ain't got no gas. So, and it was more expensive for me to box up the meals. So then I said, I'll start cooking. I didn't have a kitchen. So I would go locally to like the big churches, and they usually have a nice kitchen in the basement. And I was utilizing them for a few years, And then those big churches became warming centers, mm-hmm. and it was interfering with what I needed to do.
Yeah.
So they would say it would take me, I would need the kitchen for 3 days, and they would tell me, Mike, you got to knock this out in a day. We got people that sleep down here, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and I did that for a couple years, man. I would bring the crew in and boom, and one day we was putting it together. But it wasn't the quality that I wanted. So I owned a piece of property, and I never knew what I was going to do with it. And it just kicked in, man. Just go ahead and build you a kitchen, man. And I was able to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this from all the kitchens that I had utilized. And then I put my own kitchen together, man. And it's a state-of-the-art facility, man. I'm very proud of it. And not only am I utilizing it to feed the community, somebody's house could burn down, right? And they displaced. Somebody called me, man, we going in there and putting something together. You know what I'm saying? We utilize this for a lot of different and a lot of different ways and for a lot of different things. But my next move is, right, and this is going to be your first time hearing this, I'd like to use that kitchen for Mark's school, man, to start a little cooking class. You understand? Teach them how to make some pancakes.
Here first.
You understand what I'm saying? Teach them how to make some pancakes. And you know what I'm saying? Because think about it, right? We live in the microwave age. You know, even adults ain't really cooking no more. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go to the Family Dollar, you go to the dollar stores. Now they got walls of refrigerators with stuff that you can just throw in the microwave because it's a big business now. So, and a kid knowing how to make a cake or a sweet potato pie, imagine knowing how to do that at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. I know how to make a sweet potato, a real one. From Mississippi. You understand what I'm saying? So that's our next move, man. We're going to continue to feed people, and we're going to continue to grow. And hopefully down the road, one of my sponsors just said to me the other day that, Mike, you need to build a bigger kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just all God.
Mm-hmm. See, at the first y'all heard Brandon Wiley on here talking about his show, Opened Eyes. And Brandon was saying, listen, this all kicked off with my interview on Next, you know, years ago on WQLN. Now here we are, Michael making lives better than RBW. Man, that's what we do here at Next. We bring folk together. That's what we do. We the catalyst for community.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you talk to people, Mike, and I can hear an individual right now like, Mike, I can't really find, I'm not you, man. I'm not really motivated. I don't have no gifts, man. I don't really know where to get started. When you talk to people and they doubt themselves in terms of being a change agent, what do you say to them? Because I believe in what you said, that there's something inside of everybody. But I know that you're having these intentional conversations with kids, mm-hmm. incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, business people. You're addressing people from all walks of life.
Yeah, from the top to the bottom,
from the top to the bottom. Because there's rich folks who say the same thing. I can't find it. I got the money. I can't really find the car. What do you tell these
people? Everybody has a place. But I always remind people that God blessed us all with a gift. God blessed us all with a gift. And it's a travesty that some people live their whole life and never figure out what their gift is. You know, I tell people, if you can sew, sew. If you can cook, cook. If you can draw, draw. Whatever gift you have within yourself, figure out a way to utilize that to not just take care of yourself, but to serve your community, mm-hmm. right? So I had a brother, I was in a prison yesterday doing some classes and things, and he came to me, he said, man, how you figure out what your gift is? Now, it's intentional for me to tell them that they blessed with a gift, and I'm hoping they come back and ask me, how do I find out what my gift is?
Yeah.
And that be my way to introduce them to, you know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, man, you got to go to the guy that gave you the gift. That's how you find out what your gift is.
Right.
Man, get on your knees, man, and ask God, you know, to show you. And a lot of times, man, that be their first introduction to praying and talking to God.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, you think about gifts, man. What's your thoughts on that, man? I know that you utilize some of yours. What does that look like for you?
I'm just listening to Mike because I've experienced Mike talking to young people. One day I was outside of his barbershop, I believe it was on 11th Street or whatever, and we was talking about something. Me and Mike, sometimes we talk. We don't talk enough, but sometimes we talk. And by the time Mike got done with this young man, he simplified it so much where Mike told this man how to make, where the kid didn't think he was making a lot of money. Mike simplified it to the point where Mike showed this individual, hey man, before you knew it, you could be making $25 an hour if you use your gift like this. Don't look at it as a certain way. I mean, if you could do one thing, you could do two things. You could do three things. And before you know it, while cutting this yard over here might get you $10, mm-hmm. if you do 3 yards in such and such time, all of a sudden, brother, you got $40 in your pocket. Mm. And by the time Mike got done with this young man, this man was ready to sweep his garage out, clean it, and do cars or what have you. And I was smiling. I was amazed by it because Mike made that man believe in himself. And more, what I really like about it is, like, to me, great coaches and great individuals, mentors, they can make people see things that they can't see in themselves that's always been there, and they can bring it out. And Mike brought that out in that individual. He simplified it. Now, he ain't there every day. It takes a discipline, because I don't want to shortchange Mike for the discipline that he has. Everybody don't have self-discipline.
That's right.
We gotta acknowledge that's right. that, because no one told Mike to go back and get 2 degrees. Mike did that. No one told him he just had to plow snow. He washes cars. He buys property. I'm still trying to get him to rent some of them fancy cars he got, but we'll deal with that later. You know, I want to cut when he started. Let's announce that first here. So that type of thing. So the gift, I think Mike is correct in asking a person how do you go about it? You pray a lot, you meditate a lot, and you got to be brutally honest with yourself, man. It got to come times where this might not be working, but that might work. And then you got to be willing to go for it, man. You got to be willing to give it all up to chase your dream.
Yeah.
If you got a goal, are you really trying to get your goal, or are you mm-hmm. just talking about it? And Mike has a way of, when he announces something, he goes after it. It ain't going to be talk. It's going to be there. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be in a matter of days, months, or weeks. He's going to keep trying. It ain't going to be for lack of trying that it don't happen.
So I'm going to play off something. I'm going to play off something that you said, Mike, before you chime back in here. You said, if you can sow. Now, I remember not long ago, a couple years ago, there's an organization here in our hometown in Erie called the Manufacturing Business Association. They bring in keynote speakers all the time. They brought in George W. Bush, all these different people. They brought Damon John one time from Shark Tank. Now, Damon is my man. I've read his book, Display of Power, and one of the founders of, if the founder of FUBU. And his mother was an immigrant sister that was a seamstress, and she taught him to sew. And she gave him the same advice. Well, Damon, you good at sew. Now, how many brothers you know in the hood? You on Farmers Boulevard, up the street from LL Cool J. How many brothers you know in the hood that sew? But that was his gift.
Yep.
And so what a lot of people don't know is, when he first started selling FUBU, he was making that gear. He was sewing the hats. He was sewing the shirts. And then it goes on from there. We want to, just like you talked about with the food, Mike, and I'll let you chime in on this because I know you get it, people, about this too. Just like that microwavable food, everybody want microwavable success. I want to add water and bam, it's working. I want to add water and bam, there's a check. And they fail to realize that sometimes if you take your gift, you hone that gift, and you are patiently displaying the discipline, as you pointed out, Mark, to just plug away at that thing every day, good things can happen. And here we are years later. People see my man on Shark Tank. They want the life he has now. Nah, brother, he was sewing hats and shirts in the hood because he was good at it and passionate about it. And so it goes to what you're saying. Your gifts will make room for you, but you got to work them, and you got to have the discipline to do the thing day in and day out. Go ahead, bro. I see you chomping at the bit, getting in on that one.
what our problem is everybody wanna be on top tomorrow, right? So what I tell guys, first of all, you know, education is the great equalizer. Education is, my personal definition, is one's ability to navigate him or herself through life, right? Just knowing 1 + 1 = 2 or Christopher Columbus discovering America is not going to save you. You understand? Real education is going to free you. And education comes in many forms, right? So when it comes to money, or when it comes to someone coming to me, man, I want to start a business. Man, you got to be a dollar-naire before you can be a $5-naire. You got to be a $10-naire before you can be a $20-naire. You got to be a $30-naire before you can be a $40-naire.
Come on.
What I'm saying to you is that you got to master the little things first, and then allow those little things to grow, right? And if you have the patience, the endurance, because success It's not a particular place. It's the journey. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So like I said, everybody want to get there. Everybody want to make it, but everybody's not willing to do what it takes. Everybody's not willing to make that sacrifice. You know, sometimes you're going to take 5 steps forward and 7 steps back.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So, but the ones that have that endurance, the ones that understand that it's not a sprint but a marathon, they the ones that's going to have the breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. But now you go to the spiritual component of this, and there's a lot of spiritual components to this particular story. But look how it works now. So now you're being utilized to bridge needs between those that have means and have a heart to give and don't know where to start, and those that need. You know, on a global scale, you know, this may feel left field. I was always so impressed with Princess Diana. Because here you have this woman of means, like generational means, and still had a heart for everyday folk. And she felt like, well, if y'all gonna follow me around with these cameras, follow me over here so I can show you this need. If you wanna sit down and interview me, I'm gonna talk to you about this need. It's something special about a person when they look at the world around them and despite their circumstances say, you know what, I'm a part of the greater whole. You're now serving as a bridge between people who can legislatively make some things happen, economically make some things happen, and people who need to have things happen. What does that feel like?
The pressure that I put on people, man, is sometimes it's insurmountable. And what I mean by that is this. If I can do all these things with very little means, right, what does that make you feel like standing next to me with a lot of means? Mm. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I tell people. You know, the Bible says many hands make work light. You know, so that's my motto.
Yeah.
Right? I don't solicit people for money, right? Everybody that helps Michael making lives better, they do that out the goodness of their heart. Mm-hmm. They look at me and they say, "Hey, I like what you're doing. Keep up the good work."
Yeah.
Right? Because, see, when you go asking people for money, well, what you going to do? I'm going to be honest with you. You might not like what I'm going to do. I'm going to take somebody to Walmart and buy them some snow boots,
yeah,
some underwear, right? I took a guy one time in the wintertime, man, and this brought tears to my eyes, right? Picked him up off the street. I took him to Walmart to get a pair of boots, man. He was walking around with some sneakers, and there was a lot of snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know him from a can of spray paint. Mm-hmm. I said, "Come on, man, we're gonna go to Walmart." When we got to Walmart, and I told him to take his shoes off, because I want you to put the boots on to make sure you can fit them. You tell him you what size you wear, but put these on. I'm gonna get you some socks too, right? When he took his shoe off, bro, his feet was wrapped in plastic bags, man. And when he went to unravel the plastic bags, his skin started coming off.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I got stories, man. But that touched me, man. And like I said, I didn't know this person. I picked this person up. God put that in my heart to do that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have been in the right place at the right time, and I couldn't have made a better decision that day.
Yeah.
Right? Where to watch somebody take plastic off their feet. He didn't have no socks on. He had his pet feet wrapped in plastic mm-hmm. bags. And as he was doing that, the skin started coming off.
Yeah.
So, you know, in each occasion, in each circumstance or situation I find myself in serving people, man, it makes me stronger for the next time, yeah. You know, because that hurt me that day. After I got home, man, and, I cried.
Yeah.
It bothered me to see the skin come off someone's feet, but I was thankful, man, that I had the money and I had the mindset to pick this person up and take them to Walmart. So when people help us with what we're doing, I think outside the box.
Yeah.
I'm not a traditional person with this work. You know what I'm saying? I walk in the store, Boom. I see kids hanging outside. Y'all come on in because I know y'all finna steal something. Y'all ain't got it. You understand what I'm saying? So, no, the work is real, man, and it takes a certain type of guy, you know. And I believe I said this to Mark one time, man, a pussycat can't wake up a lion. You know what I'm saying? It takes a certain type of guy to do this type of work that we do, man, and I'm very proud of it.
You said many hands make work light. And I want you to talk a little bit about the introspective hours when the work is done, because I've seen the crowd of volunteers, and I know how that feels. I've seen the crowd of volunteers at the haircut and things. I've seen the volunteers at the Thanksgiving thing in the evening when the day is done, and it's just, you know, Mike at the house with the PJs on, and your mind is starting to go back to everything that transpired, and you think about all the people that caught the vision, ran with the vision and came alongside you and made this thing happen. What goes through your mind at the end of the day when you have these events that all grew from this seed of desire inside of yourself?
It's just basically, I say to myself, it's a job well done. It's a job well done for a couple different reasons. We got out, we got in the community, we fed the people, or we cut the kids' hair. We got them ready for school. You understand what I'm saying? People felt good that came there to help, right? Parents felt good having their kids being talked to, you know what I'm saying, and coached up, getting ready. You know, summer's over. It's time to grind, right? All those little things, and even my volunteers, man, they bring their kids, man. Mm-hmm. They want their kids. I'm talking about people that's well off. You know, they introduce me to their kids, man. They bring their kids there because they want their kids to know what it's like not to have.
That's right.
So all those components, man, all those things wrapped up together, man, it's just, I just say to myself, man, it's a job well done, man. And I'm hoping that I have the opportunity to do it one more time.
Well, Mark, yeah, a lot of people that sit at home and they talk about what should be done, man, somebody out of X or somebody out of Y, and we need somebody to do, you know, this and that, and not realizing, well, that thing might be waiting on you.
That's true. I've always been an advocate of, I don't wait for they or them or somebody should. If you feel somebody should, why not you?
Yeah.
Because you, why not you? Maybe that's why you know this, but something that Mike embodies or something that I think needs to be said, because there's people that's listening. And there's people that want to take this journey or think about taking this journey. You have to fall in love with the work. When you hear your LeBrons and your Jordans and greatness, what you would probably consider great, Michael Jackson or whatever, they all fell in love with the work. It was the process that they fell in love with.
Right.
Not necessarily the goal.
Right. We fall in love with the end result.
You because with me, I don't want to say I'm with them. I don't think they're better than me, but I don't want to say I'm them. I love the process. I love the journey. I like to make the deal. I like that more than when I get there, because when I get there, it's off to the next one, to be honest with you. It is. I mean, I get there, I'm happy I did it, but I'm not done yet.
Next.
I'm not satisfied yet. And that's the journey of, I think, most people that have that in their DNA or that want to do it. And I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for the thanks is in the work. You might not get the recognition you want. Don't fall in love because one day the cameras might be on Mike's book bag thing, or the next week it's on Eastside Renewal, or it might be on R.B. Wiley, but it's, you don't do it for that. You don't do it for that. It's always going to be another thing. Just be the best you could do. Be the best you. Work hard as you can work, and don't let nobody deter you from where your goal might be leading you.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing, because Denzel, I guess, said this. I like to take quotes because they matter. He said, man gives rewards. No, he said, man gives awards. God gives rewards. Mm-hmm. And that reward is in the work. When I see kids at the school, when they really believe they could be something that we're trying to help them be, I love that.
Yeah.
Because so many people in our community get told what they can't do. So many people, sooner or later when we leave them, I wish I had a high school, to be honest with you. But so many, they hear so many negative things. There's so many things that we're used to. We're used to turning on each other. We're used to hearing negative words. We're used to calling, why you? And here we are saying today, a bunch of us, because we fly together, we lift each other up, iron sharpen iron, all that. I'm like, go, because I'm gonna do this. And not out of a competitive nature, because as Mike said, I can't be around this without some of this rubbing off on me, and I get excited. I'm like, how can I help? How can I help? And I'm like, why you? And it's too much of that that's out there. You know, don't get in the way. If you don't want to help, don't get in the way.
There you go.
Don't get in the way.
That's bottom line. If you don't want to help.
You can't be looking for no shine. You know what I'm saying? I know for me personally, the news, people be trying to catch up to me, man. And I be ducking and dodging people, man, because I don't want to focus on me, because it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about these people that we serve. And that's a good thing sometimes, and it's a bad thing in other times, because sometimes when I dodge a news interview, or I, you know, because I'm only here today because of our relationship.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So when I dodge them, then some people don't know.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't never want the focus to be on me, because I know how people think. Mm-hmm. Oh, who he think he is. He, you know, because the average person is trying to do something for some clout, man. I'm trying to do something for change.
That's right. That's right. At the end of the day, this thing is bigger than all of us. And your actions, your contribution to society should be just that. You know, to give of yourself to something greater than yourself. Because at the end of the day, it really comes down to what you've done for others. All of us are finite. This could be the last day for any of us. The impact of your time here, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100, is that felt by other people? And that's what the bottom line is. That's why we wanted to highlight your work today. Again, I know Thanksgiving season is upon us, but again, Mike, is your work is the living embodiment of what everyday people can do if only they offer themselves up to be used in the best of ways, right? And ain't nothing glorious or glamorous about being used.
There you go. Right? But I will say this. I was shocked, and I didn't know the brother could cook. And, you know, I said, I'm just going to come by. You know, a lot of times you try to support things, even though I believe in patronage. I don't necessarily believe in support. I believe a product has to stand on its own, and that we got to get around to that concept. But however, I came to Mike got this food, and I'm like, I tasted it. I was like, you cooked this? And I had other people try it. I said, man, look, the brother can burn. They're like, Mike could cook?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
You know, what happened, in probably the first 4 or 5 years, I was hiring chefs to cook my Thanksgiving dinners. But I was working right alongside of them. And I was getting them for so cheap. So what happened was they sent me on the missions. Go get this. Go get that. Right? And so I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to figure this thing out. Right? So after about 6 or 7 years, because we're about 20 years into this thing, right, with this cooking thing. But after about 6 or 7 years, man, I just start putting in the work, man.
You
know what I'm saying? I start putting in the work, man, and I like to think that I am a good cook. I'm a blessed person, man. God blessed me with the ability to pay attention.
Oh man,
right? And if you can pay attention, you can learn anything, and then you start putting your own little flip on it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we getting ready to cook about 50 turkeys, man. And I'm going to chop them joints up, man, and I'm going to cook them, I'm going to baste them, man, and it's gonna be fire.
And look, it got good to him, Mark. He went out and got himself a smoker, you know.
Because it's season, you know. I hate for people to start cooking for the public, and they try to sanitize it. And I get it. Believe me, I get it. But Mike throw that thing down, man.
Yeah.
He burns it up.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that it's good.
Yes, I'm not mad at you, man. Well, listen, Mike Hooks, thank you so much. Bless your work, brother.
Oh, man, the pleasure's all mine.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Mark. Thank you for being wingman again on this interview as usual.
One more thing before
we go. Say it, brother, say it.
Mike, if someone would want to help you.
There you go.
Because I'm pro-business. At the end of the day, I'm pro-business. I'm pro. How do we support you? How do we get in contact if that's the thing? I know you say you don't like to ask, but it takes money, man.
So, yeah.
Hey, man, it takes resources. Yeah, I ain't ashamed to say it.
Money hangs.
I want
all
to
that.
Be in front of the big check all the time. That's what that's me.
Yeah.
But How do you do it, Mike? I know you're humble, but
yeah. So you can reach us at mmlb.foundation. You can hit the hotline number 814-392-6870. Or you can stop down to the facility, man, and take a look at it. 359 East 10th Street. You're more than welcome to stop by and look around and make a decision, man. If you want to be a part of this thing in any way to help us out, we don't turn no one away that wants to volunteer and help out. And if we can do anything for you, just reach out to us.
That's right.
There we go.
Michael, making lives better. Thank you so much. And so that's it for our show today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. Remember that Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR. That is 91.3 FM. I'm Marcus Atkinson with my guest host, Mark Blunt, coming to you. And join us again so that you can hear about what's next. Mark, thank you for co-hosting.
No problem.
Join us again so that you can hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Peace.
Peace.